And you know, when you think about the grace of God, it was not just an individual thing. When God came down to give his life for us, he would have done it for any one of us. So yes, that's all that mattered. But for any one of us, he did it to bring us in to this community of grace, to find life in community. Because you see, that's who God is. God, throughout time and eternity, has lived in the joy of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in a perfect love for one another. And so when we were created, there was a desire that we would experience that same love. And so it is not a wonder that the very plan that he would use to destroy the weapons of the enemy would be through a community of people that he brought together by his grace. So many times we only focus on the grace of God for our salvation, that I don't go to hell, and yet that is well below what God wants for us. We know the scripture that we've been reading all summer long that says, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. His desire was that a church would come together and be the reflection of the greatness of the love of God. It is when we come together, one another, beginning to lean on one another, beginning to love one another, beginning to join ourselves to one another, that is when the gates of hell are broken down. Too many times we want to live our life alone, and it's like going against the weapons of darkness with a BB gun. And yet we are constantly frustrated in the ups and downs of life, and it is because we are missing the very plan of God, which is to come together as the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the community, the body, the family, the temple that is built together by his grace. So we're going to look at the next thing. How do we build that church? We've been looking at how we build the church through the different one another commandments, and we've looked at that we are first and foremost called to love one another. And that love, in loving one another, it completes everything. But what does love look like? And we've looked at the fact that love, first of all, looks like we encourage one another. That we are here to lift one another up, to build one another up. We are also here to accept one another. And accepting does not mean tolerating, but it means welcoming into our life that we begin to be rooted together. It means being inconvenienced by one another. It means being so connected that we accept and welcome our lives together. We've looked at serving one another, that we are to be people that give our life to meet the needs that we see in one another, that we are to be a servant just as Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. It's the same as us. And then last week we looked at that we are called to forgive one another. And forgiving is not just about letting people off the hook for when they've hurt us. We talked about that forgiveness is really a preemptive thing. It's living a life of forgiveness, that we don't let the little things in life become offenses. We talked about that. The best way to forgive is not to be offended in the first place. Jesus said it's impossible that offenses not come. You're going to have offenses in your life, but it doesn't mean you have to be offended in your life. You see, that's the choice we have. We can choose not to be offended. We can get over it, and we can begin to find miracles when we begin to use those things that are hard, those things that feel hurtful and broken. They become the very stepping stones to find the power of God. So when we live in that forgiveness and that openness to one another, we find God's power. Well, today we're going to look at another area that we are called to, because this is also what God has done for us. And we're going to look in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. This is what It says love, again, we're looking, all of these things are reflections of love. Love kind of covers everything. Love must be sincere. First of all, saying stop playing games, stop pretending, stop putting on your church face on Sunday and going through the motions. Love, if we are to be one another community, must be sincere. It must be real. It must be something that we give ourselves to. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And so this is what we're talking about today, that we are called to honor one another. We're going to look at that. What does it mean to honor one another? We're not here just to serve one another, because so many times we can forgive someone, we can accept someone, and we can encourage them, but we can do all those things and yet never honor them. And so this is another step. You notice that each one takes us a little bit deeper into this connection of community, that it is not just to be a connection, but there is to be an honor for one another. I like how it says in the New King James, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another. So part of this honor we see is in a kindness. It is in affection. So it's, you know, so many times we have heard the saying that love is not a feeling, which is true, that I can love you doesn't mean I have to like you, right? And many times we use that as an excuse that, okay, I'm going to love you in God, but you know, doesn't mean that the feelings are always there. And yet, this is what it says. It says, be kindly affectionate. So at some point, now that it may start out that way, that sometimes we do have to just choose to love one another, no matter how the other person makes us feel, because we all irritate one another sometimes. We all have people that rub us the wrong way, that we still have to choose to love them. And that's a good start. But at some point, we need to begin to let that love begin to turn into an actual affection, that there is a point that goes beyond choice, that we are to begin to see them and begin to let the love of God even flow into our hearts and begin to like one another. So be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And it says, in honor, giving preference to one another. So honor begins to see this also picture of preference, which means I lay myself down and I honor them to such an extent that they get preference. That's a hard one for us sometimes, because I want to honor you, but I'm not willing to put me down. I'll honor you and I'll honor myself at the same time. And yet that's not what God says. If we are going to truly honor, there is going to be a preference for others. And that does take discipline. And it takes a move of the Spirit to begin to grow within us. And I love it even more so how the ESV says this same scripture. This is what the ESV says. And it's all in the same words that are translated slightly different and have different nuances. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. And I love what it says. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. This is one of the main and only places where the Bible talks about competing with one another. Do better than the other person. But look what it says. Do better at honoring others. It says, if you're going to owe anyone something, owe them a debt of love. In other words, if we're going to be better than anyone else, be better at loving them. Be better at humbling ourselves. When we begin to outdo one another, let's outdo one another in honoring one another. Have we ever thought about, am I doing better than others in honoring? Let's be honest. If we look around, there's someone else that's maybe doing a better job, then we need to work and say, no, I'm not going to let someone else be a better honorer, a better lover of the people of God than me. We each need to step up and say, I want to lead the way in honoring the people of God, the people that God has put around me. It doesn't mean you can honor everyone. And we're all part of the church of God. And I know people use that as an excuse not to be a part of a local church. But God puts us in a smaller community for a purpose, for a reason, that as we honor the smaller community, then the greater body of Christ is stronger. It becomes joined together out of the strength that we honor one another. And so we need to challenge ourselves. Am I honoring other people enough? Am I honoring the household of God, the community that God has placed me in? I am going to honor each one that I do life with. And so when we look at this statement of honoring one another, there's a real question. What does it mean to honor? And we see that throughout the Bible. There's different places. It says honor the government. It says that we are all to honor those over us. We know that in the Ten Commandments, it says honor your father and your mother. And so that we have this idea of honoring. And as I really got into this word, it's something that I should have known more so. But even with that commandment to honor your father and mother, a lot of times we think of that as obeying them and doing it. And yet I think we miss the fullness of that word. And even with one another, we think of honoring one another as kind of submitting to one another and serving one another, which the service and that part is part, but it's different from that. Because honor itself has a different meaning. This is how Paul used this word, and it's the same Greek word, but it's translated in a different way because of the context, but it gives us a different picture of what it is to honor. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved." So in this verse, he's describing the church at Philippi and how he feels about them. Basically, he is saying, my brothers, I honor you. I honor you. When I think about you, you are the love in my heart. But look how he describes it. He says, you are my joy and my crown. And that crown there, it has the picture of honor. Literally, when it says my crown, it's not necessarily a crown on their head. It's actually something like a reward that you would receive, like a medal of honor. It actually says, and you could translate it this way, my brothers whom I love, you are my joy, and I have you around my neck. So it's kind of like a medal that is around his neck. In other words, you are the honor of my life. I honor you because you are the one that makes me proud. You are the one I value. When I think of you, you know what? It is something that is valuable to me. When I think of your friendship, when I think of you in my life, you're like a crown to me. In other words, you are what make me important. You are the ones that I have accomplished something, not because of me, but you're my crown. You're my medal. You are the one that I value. When I think of you, there's good feelings. And so this idea of honoring one another has to do with this sense of value. When he says honor one another, it means begin to see one another with this understanding of the value of what they really have. And I don't think we have understood the value of one another. It is something that we work to achieve. Of course, I do a lot of the runs, and especially the bigger runs that we go on. When you finish, you get a little medal. You get the ribbon and the token that says that I have finished the race, and there's pride in that. But that medal of honor is something that we begin to value, because the value it is a reflection of importance. It's a reflection of what I've done. It's a reflection of pride. It is a reflection of value, that there's a sense of accomplishment that reflects on me. And so when we begin to value others, we see that others are who make us important. If we do not learn to honor other people, we have really lessened our own self. And yet many times we live a life focused on ourself and not realize that as we live for ourself, we are diminishing ourself. Because to truly become great is to find the honor and value that people bring to us. And when we begin to join together, to come together as the church, then there is a value and there is an honor that I will be able to stand before God and not say, look at me, look at my church, look at my family, look at my brothers and sisters. They are my honor. And then that's when God says, well done, because now you understand the heart of God. It is when we find value in other people that we find life and we find power to overcome the enemy. Because here's the thing. When you begin to value other people and honor other people, the enemy starts to lose his power over you. You see, the more we get self-absorbed, you are actually giving the enemy more power to destroy you. Through anxieties, through fears, through depressions, through discouragement. Because I'm telling you, in yourself, the more we isolate ourselves, we become the prey of the enemy. It says that the enemy is like a lion prowling around seeking whom he can destroy. And you know that if you ever watch the little pictures on Africa and the animals, the predators, they wait for the weak ones to get separated from everyone else. And when we stop honoring one another, when we stop seeing the value of the church, of the body of Christ, you begin to isolate yourself. And it doesn't matter that we believe in Christ, and I'm not saying you're not going to go to heaven, but you're never going to be the overcoming life and have the victory that God wants us to have, because the enemy is going to have access to our life. But when we begin to value and honor one another, I'm telling you, there is a strength that we develop in our own life. So real quick, I want to look at, first of all, we need to be able to see the value. There is a value that is seen in each one of us. And I think we need to change how we see people. And it doesn't matter whether they are the irritating people in our life, whether they are the people that we see as kind of, you know, useless, or they're the ones that don't do anything, and we have lots of criticisms for different people, you know, if they're the ones that are kind of below us, or whether they're the ones that are above us. And sometimes, oh, it's those, they're the arrogant ones, and they think they're better than us. It doesn't matter. We need to see that everyone has value. Instead of a judgment of putting people in tiers, whether it is by finances, the poor to the rich, or by status of power, we need to stop valuing people based on what we see in the outward culture and begin to value people by how God sees them. And so first of all, when we look at whether it's a child or whether it is a senior citizen, we need to see that first of all, it says in Genesis chapter 1 that person is the very image of God. Do you realize that? That each person that you see is an image of God. Even if it is a rude person, person that, you know what, may not even be a Christian, they are still made in the image of God. Do we see value in them? We need to begin to see past our own feelings. We need to get over those things, going back to last week, and begin to see God's image in each person. We see God's image in the church to build up one another. We see God's image in the world to draw them in to what God desires for them. In Genesis, it says, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, God himself looked at one another. We know that God is three, and he said, let's make man in our image. You know what he's saying? He's saying, we love each other so much. God the Father, God the Son says, we don't want to keep this to ourselves. Let's create man that we can share this with, and let's make him in our image. And it says, so he did that. He made man in God's image, male or female. It says both of them are in God's image. And when he did that, when you go to verse 31, it says he looked at what he had done, and he said, this is very good. When we look at one another, we need to be able to see what God sees. I know there's brokenness, and there is sin that has come in this world. We live in a world that is ravaged by the consequences of rebellion and sin against God. But when we look at one another, we need to see people that were created in God's image, and we need to begin to value that. Because when we don't value and honor other people, you know what you're saying? You're saying to God, God, I don't care for your image. I don't care. That image is not good enough. You see, we are diminishing who God is. Because everyone is different, but everyone is a reflection of the different facets of God. God is so complex, we can never know all of God. And so when we see each one of us in our uniqueness, we are seeing just one slightly different image of God. And so who are we to say that I don't like that portion of your image, God? So therefore, we diminish God. And we may have reasons. And many times we justify why we don't honor that person. Well, what they did, they deserve judgment. Well, I'm going to bring us back to the grace of God that God has shown you. And so who are we to decide what act deserves judgment and what doesn't? See, my act was not quite as bad because I know what my intentions were. So, okay, I get a little pass. But yet we don't give that to them. Because, no, what you did was worse. And we begin to imply their own intentions. So we need to see people as God's image. They were created in the image of God. Not only that, but we need to honor people because they are part of us. And here's some, this is what we mentioned a little bit. We honor them because in honoring them, I actually honor myself. When I do not honor other people, when I don't value what I can get from coming together in the community of the body of Christ, I am purposely weakening myself. I am purposely opening myself up for spiritual injury, for the enemy to come in and attack me. It is like going into battle and purposely not wearing a helmet. Because, you know what, I don't value that. I'm fine. Well, you know what? We're seeing this today in the most stupid, if you're a football fan, if you aren't, this may be news to you, but there's a prima donna wide receiver who thinks he's all that, and he's not all that. Just got traded to the Raiders, which kind of deserves them. Sorry if you're a Raiders fan. Antonio Brown, and now he is threatening not to play. I will not play if you don't let me use my old helmet, because his old helmet has been deemed unsafe by the, now that all the concussion protocols, and they're trying to protect the players from themselves, and even the players' union has agreed to this. Yes, this is what we've been asking for, that you give us better equipment. And so the new helmet, he doesn't like it because he thinks that he can't quite see the same things that he sees with his other helmet. And yet, he simply opens up himself to life-threatening injury because he doesn't honor what has been given to him to make him better. And it's the same thing with God. God has given us the church. God has given us the body of Christ. Now, for some of us, I don't like that person in the body of Christ because, you know what, they just make my life an irritant. It irritates me. I can't, you know what, when I'm there, I can't worship God as well. You know what? We are hurting ourselves because of a lack of honor for one another and not seeing each other as part of my body. They are given to me for a reason, that as I honor, I actually strengthen myself. I actually protect myself from injury, from what the enemy wants to do. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27, you can read it. It says that we are all part of the body. And even the smallest part of the body, if you don't protect it, if you don't honor it, the whole body's going to get hurt. In other words, if you're working out, but you just don't work out your right arm, sooner or later, because your right arm is weak, something's going to happen and you're going to begin to hurt the rest of your body. We honor one another because in honoring one another, we actually make ourselves better. You become stronger. You become more sensitive to the presence of God and all that he wants to do when we honor one another. And he says, you know what? Yes, one another, sometimes some of us are less appealing. Let's put it that way. But it says, God, even the lessest, smallest part of the body, he gives them even more honor. Sometimes the ones that are the greatest that we lift up and, oh man, that isn't that a person, the greatest Christian? I just love that person. He says, really, you're not understanding. That person is not the one that you need to honor as much as maybe the one that you never see or the one that doesn't get acknowledged, because that's the one that God honors above everyone else. And so we all come together and build the body. So we need to begin to see each other as the value of my own body. And when we begin to see that, there is a value that we can find in each one. Not only that, but we also see value in one another when we realize that Jesus said, each one of you is the very temple of God. And you're not your own. You are purchased with a price. You were bought. You know, the other person that you're sitting with is not just the image of God, is not just part of your own body, but they were so important that God shed his blood for that person. And who are you not to value them? God valued them so great that he suffered and bled and died and was tortured for them. We need to begin to value that. And that deserves honor. That my God would die for them, they deserve honor. Do we see people like that? Do we see one another like that? I think we want to be seen that way because we quote scriptures that I am the child of God. I am a son of God. We want to build up our own identity, and yet those scriptures are there for you to realize that that's who they are, not just who you are. We need to stop worrying about who we are and begin to put that value on one another, to begin to look at one another and say, you are purchased by God. You are so important, and I will honor you because I'm in the presence of a celebrity. God died for you. You are the very temple of God. The presence of God is in your neighbor, is in the person by you. And yet, do we honor that? Do we recognize it? Do we see the value in one another that God was willing to buy that person? To pay for them. What an honor we need to show one another. Well, it's not just about seeing the value in one another. If we are to honor one another, if we're to build this church a church of honor, then we've got to also show it. It's got to be not just value seen, it needs to be value shown. We can see the value in one another, but we need to then show the fact that we value one another. I want other people to know that I value them. If I just value them in my heart, then it accomplishes nothing. It does not strengthen the body. It does not create this environment where God's presence begins to fill it. So how do we value one another? First of all, we need to learn to celebrate one another. We need to learn to celebrate what God is doing in one another's life. It doesn't matter if it's not happening in your life, and we've talked about this. This is the hardest thing to do because we tend to be people that compare everything to ourselves. It's okay to celebrate other people as long as I am getting what I deserve too. But it's the fact that when I didn't get it, how come they get it? Then it's hard to celebrate. It seems like we don't celebrate other people when we put this level of fairness. I hate that word because God does not use that word. There's never a subjective comparison of fairness. Because here's the thing. We live in a world where there is only one thing that's fair. You deserve hell. You deserve to be separate. Who do you think you are? You have violated God in so many ways in just this last week. Every one of us. We think we're so good. And yet it says your righteousness is like dirty rags to God. So who do we think that, well, but my righteousness might be dirty rags, but his dirty rags are worse than my dirty rag. It's like, come on. Guys, to God, who is the holiest of holy, he does not see your dirt any worse than their dirt. And we need to begin to understand fairness is not a thing that I long for, because I don't want God to be fair with me. And I don't think you do either. So we need to begin to celebrate one another no matter what we are experiencing. You know, when I am sick and I have been sick for a while and yet they get their healing, you need to celebrate them and honor them and begin to lift them up. We need to celebrate one another in every instance. No matter what we experience, they deserve celebration. We need to begin to lift one another up. We need to be praying, God, show me areas that I can celebrate them. Whether it is something that they do in the church, maybe it's just celebrating that they are part of our church. Do we honor one another by, man, I am just glad to see you. I am just lifted up because God is working in your life. Do we share what God is doing in our life so that we begin to celebrate even through the hard times? You know what? Maybe our brother or our sister is going through a valley. You know what? We can celebrate with them. You might say, "How? You don't want to celebrate when someone's going through a hard time. Hey, it's so great you're going through a hard time there, brother, right?" But yet we can celebrate the presence of God with them and honor them even through weeping with them. Because it says that we are called to weep when our brother weeps. And you know what? That honors them. You know how that honors them? It honors them because you are worthy of my empathy. That when you are hurting, I am hurting. I recognize you, and therefore I celebrate you, that you are worth fighting for. And we need to begin to celebrate one another and begin to honor the value that we see in one another. You see, that is why Jesus celebrated those that the Pharisees put down. We think of the woman who emptied the anointing oil on Jesus, and they were like, first of all, she's a prostitute. She shouldn't even be near you. And second of all, come on, that was costly stuff. We could have used that money to do good works in the world. And Jesus said, you people, you forgot the value of just her. And I value her. And Jesus celebrated her. He said, she is going to be known by the rest of the world and throughout history for what she has done today. Even though to everyone else it looked foolish. Are we able to see that in one another? to begin to celebrate one another and lift one another up. The second thing is we need to begin to protect one another. When you think of something you value, if it is something you value, you know what, boy, I've seen people, they protect it. You know, whether it's our car or whatever, don't get close to that. You know, hey, don't be leaning on what, you know, you go in the parking lot and someone's sitting on your car. Hey, wait a second. You know, we protect it. Or if it's our kids, you know, we try and protect them and everything. But yet, if we truly value one another, do we have a sense of protecting our church? Do we protect the relationships that we have? Instead, many times we're so quick to believe the worst. We're so quick to let the enemy come in and break us apart because we don't protect one another. Are we there for one another? When they fail us, when they, you know what, disappoint us, do we just get mad at them? How dare you do that? Or are we willing to allow people to fail? Are we willing to protect them because we honor them? You know, that means that when they fail us, we overlook it because, you know what, they're valuable. And I'm going to protect this relationship even though the enemy is trying to destroy it. Do we protect our time to one another? Or is it so easy that anything comes up and it pulls us away? You know that the enemy, those things are not just schedules. Those things are not just... It is the enemy that is purposely pulling us away from the time with our family, and we are giving into it, and we don't even take protections. And then we wonder why we're not strong and why we don't have enough friends and why people are not just there for us, because we have not protected the community of coming together and honoring one another and building up that presence of God in us. And so if we are going to honor one another, then we need to protect. We need to stand up for one another. We need to be there for one another. I will protect you because you are worthy of protection. You're worthy of concern when you're going through these things. You see, that's how we treat things that we honor. And so are we doing that with one another? The final thing is if we honor one another, then there must be a prioritizing of one another. Remember, we read that in that scripture where it says that when you honor one another, you are to do it in preference of one another. If we truly honor, here's the greatest thing you can honor is by putting someone else first. They're like, man, why are you here? Because you're important. But you had something else. Yeah, but I can do that later. You're more important. Since when do we treat the body of Christ that way? We prioritize them. Because remember, to honor means to value. Well, I want to ask you, what do you value in your life? What are we really honoring? You know, we say we honor church. We say we honor God. And to honor God is to honor the body. But yet, if you look at our lifestyle, our schedules, how we spend our money, you know what? We really are not really honoring the church. We just give it a token. Because we can tell what you really honor. We need to begin to say, what is our priorities? Why has this not been a priority? And you know what? It's been so easy to just say, it's just church. I can go anytime. It's every week anyway. That's your attitude? We need to start asking ourselves, is that the value that we give it? And is that what we're going to say to God? How are we going to really justify that? You really feel comfortable saying that? We need to begin to say, if I'm going to honor one another, we need to give each other priority. In Philippians, it says this, that you are not to think so much of yourself that you are important, but you should think of others as more important than you. You know, it's one thing to like people and to honor people, but to think of them as more important than me, that is what Jesus said, because Jesus was the king of all the universe, and yet he left heaven. He gave up everything in the universe to come and walk this world. And yet, can we do that for one another? Are we willing to prioritize, or are other things more important to us? If we really want to honor one another, let's show priority. That this thing is not just about coming to a church service. It's about coming and being with the body because I honor these people. We are the body of Christ. And if God is going to build this church and the gates of hell is coming against us, we're not going to survive if we don't build the church. That's something worth prioritizing. So are we celebrating one another? Are we protecting one another? Are we prioritizing one another? As we do that, we begin to bring honor to one another. Can we say like Paul and say, my fellow brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, you are my medal. You're my crown. You are what gives honor to me. Do we honor one another? Do we value one another? If we are going to experience the power of God to come against the things in our life that we want to see broken, then we need to come together and honor one another and find the will of God as we do that. Let's bow our heads.